Well, hey, good morning and welcome to True North Church, and welcome, or maybe for you, welcome back to a series that we've been in for the last several weeks that we're calling Faith on Fire. And what we've been doing in this series is we've been looking at this amazing letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to the early church, encouraging them, trying to inspire them to stand firm in their faith in the midst of unbelievable persecution and opposition, and in many ways, suffering simply for being a Christian, for speaking the name of Jesus. And really, at the heart of this series, and my hope as a pastor, our church, our hope as a church, is that you would have the type of faith that is immovable, that is unshakable, that no matter what happens in this life, there is nothing that will cause you to doubt or to lose your faith in the amazing God that we serve. That's my hope and my prayer for you. And you know why I want that for you? Because I really believe that everything good that God has planned for your life and for mine, it starts and ends with faith. Salvation, transformation and life change, just even finding purpose and understanding our purpose, it all starts and ends with faith. And so we so badly want that for you. I so badly want that for you. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't checked out any of the first 3 weeks of this series, we're in week four now, go to our YouTube channel or grab our podcast and catch up on these messages from the last several weeks as we have worked chapter by chapter through 1 Peter. I believe there's so much powerful truth in there for your life that will hopefully inspire you to greater faith. And as you do that, help you experience all that God has for you. His joy, His peace, His satisfaction and contentment. Again, it all begins with faith. But today, we're going to be diving into week four here. We're going to be diving into chapter four of this book, 1 Peter, that we find in the New Testament. And as we do that today, I want to throw out this disclaimer. This is going to be maybe the most challenging and probably the most difficult message of this entire series. In many ways, what we're going to talk about today is going to be somewhat offensive, or maybe very offensive, to the culture and the world that we are living in right now. You see, the truth is this, is that we are living in a world that in many ways is hostile towards those who are attempting or trying to live a godly life. It is hostile to those of us who would call ourselves Jesus followers or Christians. And in many countries, and I think you know this to be true, right? If you really think about this, right? In many countries, you can be arrested or even killed simply for speaking the name of Jesus. And even here in the United States of America, in a country where we have supposedly been founded on biblical principles, on Christian morality, for those who are trying to live that way, there is a persecution. There's an oppression, and it might be more subtle than it is in a country where you can be arrested or killed. But if you speak out for Christian ideals here in this nation, in this time that we are living in, oftentimes you are ridiculed, you are mocked. If you speak out against the mainstream thinking and the mainstream thought, or what Scripture says, what the Bible says is sin, you are very quickly labeled as somebody who is hateful, somebody who's intolerant, somebody who is bigoted. And here's what that does to me, and I believe, again, this is what it does to you. It causes us to have this fear, right? Where I don't want to speak up for the truth. I don't want to speak the truth because I know that if I speak the truth of God's word and I try to live by biblical principles, that I'm going to get pushback from the culture and from the world around me. Why? Because that's not the mainstream, right? And so I step back. I go, you know what? I'm good. I don't want to be seen as hateful. I don't want to be seen as somebody who is intolerant or bigoted. I don't want to be mocked or ridiculed for my faith. And so I simply, in certain arenas, in certain places, I simply will not speak up for the truth. But here's where we're going today, guys. And here's what I so believe right down to my very core. The longer I follow Jesus, the more I understand that we are called to stand for the truth, even when it means that we are going to face some persecution and some suffering for standing up for that truth. And so the question that I have for us today, as we get started here and we navigate through chapter 4 of 1 Peter, is in the midst of this culture that we are living in the midst of that culture that is pushing back against what the Bible says is the right way to live, and what Scripture says about the gospel and Jesus Christ and the fact that we are sinners and that we need God so badly, in the midst of a culture that's just constantly pushing back against that, are you the type of person who is courageous, who courageously stands up for the truth, who courageously stands up for the gospel, or not? Are you the type of person who stands up for the truth even when the world is just adamantly opposed to you? And even when you might have to suffer for it. You see, today I want to talk about this. I believe that God has called us to live a life of courageous faith in the midst of suffering. To be courageous in the midst of suffering that comes specifically from speaking the truth and living the life that God has called us to live. And so the question I have for us as we begin today, and the question I want to answer, is how do we do that? How do we have a courageous faith in the face of opposition and suffering? Well, Peter gives us once again an amazing blueprint for what this aspect of our faith is supposed to look like, for how we can have a courageous faith in the midst of any suffering or persecution that we might go through for speaking the name of Jesus. And this is such an encouragement to me, because there are many days when I do feel that fear kind of start to creep up. There are many days when I do feel like I am alone in many ways in the world, in the way I think, in the way that I am trying to follow Jesus. And I know that there are others out there who feel that too. And so this is such an encouragement. It was an encouragement to the church 2,000 years ago as they faced unbelievable persecution from the Roman government. And it should be an encouragement to us today, church. And so let's go ahead and get ready. Let's dive in here. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it up with us today and join us and follow along. I also want to encourage you, as I have each week in this series, to be studying out the entire chapter of 1 Peter 4 this week on your own time, because there's no possible way for us to in a 30 or 40 minute message here, to fully unpack everything that's going on in this chapter. So I encourage you to be doing that. But today we're going to start in verse 12, chapter 4, looking at what Peter challenges the church and how Peter challenges the church to stand firm courageously in their faith for the truth of the gospel. This is what he says. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. So it begins with this statement: do not be surprised. Friends, church, believers, don't be surprised when you are persecuted, when you have to suffer a little bit for speaking the name of Jesus, as though something strange were happening to you. This is not something strange. This is actually normal. In other words, he's saying, guys, we need to learn to expect it. This is what he's saying. Expect it. Expect to have to be courageous. Why? That's the question I want answered. I'm a why person. Why? Why should I expect it? What's the benefit of that? Well, first and foremost, we need to expect it because we need to understand that there are evil forces at work in this world that are adamantly opposed to anyone who speaks the name of Jesus or tries to speak the truth in this world. Guys, there is a spiritual battle going on. Whether we realize it or not, in what Scripture says, in the unseen, there's a spiritual battle between good and evil happening. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He does not want the truth of God's word to be proclaimed. He does not want more people to know about it, because he despises God, and he wants anything that is God's, that God loves, he wants to destroy. And so the second we take sides, the second that we join the side of Jesus and begin to follow him, those forces of darkness, those forces of evil, they are going to come at us. And we need to be ready for that. We need to be prepared for that. Why? Because when we expect something, when we are prepared for something, we are so much more ready and able to handle that attack, right? That persecution that's going to come at us. Think about it like this. I don't know how many of you have ever gotten the wind knocked out of you before, but if you have, you know how scary of a moment that is, right? There's that moment where you get punched in the gut and the life literally feels like it's sucked out of you. And for me, I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, I literally drop to my knees. I drop to the ground, right? Writhing in pain and in fear, right? As you wait 10 or 15 or 20 seconds, it feels like an eternity for that air to return to your lungs, right? And the reason that we get the wind knocked out of us, don't miss the point here, is that we are not ready for it, right? Why? We know this to be true because if I was able to stand, if I knew that that blow was coming and I was able to clench up my ab muscles and be ready, right, for that blow to come and hit me, it's a totally different story, isn't it? When that happens, then I'm able to, it might hurt a little bit, but I'm able to stand firm. I'm able to stand tall. It doesn't bring me to my knees. Why? There's only one difference between those two things. The same exact blow with the same exact force came at me. One put me to my knees, the other one left me standing. It's because I was prepared. It was because I was expecting it. I was ready for it. We must be ready. We must be ready in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits to be prepared for when we stand for the truth, that opposition is going to come at us so that when it happens, it doesn't take us off guard and we are ready to stand. Now, there's one more reason that I think this is so important, and the reason that Peter is sharing with us to expect it, to be ready for it. Because our King, our Savior, Jesus Christ, told us to expect it. Listen to this in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. This is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world." He says, "But I have chosen you out of the world." He says, "For this reason, that is why the world hates you." Jesus says, the world is going to hate you if you align yourself with me. The world is going to hate you if you proclaim the truth that I am encouraging you to proclaim, if you live the way that I am calling you to live. And he says, don't be surprised by that. Expect that. Why? Because they did the exact same thing to him. Think about the insanity of this. Jesus Christ came into this world. He loved people. He healed people. He did everything he could to speak the truth to them, to share with them the gospel. And do you know what they did to him? They crucified him. They put him on a cross and they murdered him. They hated him for speaking the truth and for trying to love them. And what he's encouraging us with here, and this is what I so need you to hear, I need you to hear this today, is that persecution because of our faith, suffering because of our faith for the name of Jesus Christ, it is a reminder that I am actually on the right side, that I am aligned with Jesus. When I suffer for the truth, it should be actually be an encouragement to me. I should expect it, and I should be encouraged by it. Now, I know, guys, this is going to be tough to hear, but I think this is something that we have to wrestle with, and we've got to look in the mirror and make an honest assessment of ourselves with. For those of us who call ourselves believers, those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, if we are not facing some kind of opposition from this world, from this culture, from the mainstream for speaking the truth, for trying to live a godly life, if we're not seeing some opposition from that, I think we have to question whether we are on the right side or not. And that's a really difficult thing to kind of look in the mirror and assess and go, okay, am I facing opposition? Because if I'm not, maybe I'm not standing up for the truth. If I'm not trying to oppose those evil forces in this world, maybe they're like, Satan's like, well, I don't have to do anything about that. They're not a threat right now. And so I think even in the church, this is the sad truth. Many, many Christians, and even in the church, the organizational, you know, institutional church at large, like I believe we have succumbed, we have caved in many ways to the pressure of the culture, to the pressure of that those evil forces that want us to be fearful for speaking up. And because of that, what we've done is we've held back the more difficult truths, right? We want, as the church, as a Christian, as a pastor, I want people to hear the gospel. I want people to know the amazing love of Jesus. I want them to know the truth of Jesus. But when push comes to shove, sometimes it's easy to just kind of back away, right? When that pressure and that suffering starts to feel like it's pressing in on us, right, for speaking the truth. But this is the bottom line today. As the church, as Christians, it does people no favors to not speak the ultimate truth to them, to not speak the difficult truths to them. And what we've done, I think, as Christians and in Christian culture is we've tried so hard to make it easy to not push people away, for people to come to faith, because we don't want to push them away, right? We don't want them to feel like they're not welcome, right? And so what we've done is we've kind of watered down the truth in Christian culture. And that is not helping anybody. That does not save anybody. There is a world out there who needs to understand the fullness of the gospel, that we are sinners, we are desperately in need of saving, but there is this grace, there is this amazing grace that says you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to have it all together, that Jesus went to the cross to die for you, for your sin. And if you will live for him, you will experience a better life. That is the full truth that we have to share with them, with the world around us. We cannot hold back. Why? Because lives are at stake. Loved ones, family members, coworkers, people in our neighborhood, their hearts and spirits and souls are at stake. I love the way that John puts this when he talks about who Jesus was and how he did this. John says he was full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace, always merciful, always gracious, never judgmental, but he was always full of truth, speaking the truths that would change people's lives, even when it meant it convicted them and challenged them. This is who we are called to be as Jesus followers, as believers. And so what Peter is saying here is if you suffer for doing what's good, if you suffer for doing what's right, expect to face opposition. Expect to face it. And as you expect that, remember that there is going to be a reward for that. And that is where he goes next. First of all, he says, expect it. Don't be surprised by it. But then he says, rejoice in it. Rejoice in the opportunity to have courage and to stand firm in your faith and suffer for the good news of the gospel, for the name of Jesus in this world. Listen to this. I love this. He goes on. He says, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, he says, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Rejoice in it, he says. Why? First of all, because to suffer for doing good in the name of Jesus is an honor. It's an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus, to suffer for doing what is right. Why? Because of what he has done for us. It always comes back to Christ. It always comes back to Jesus. Jesus has done this amazing thing for us. He says, in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. We take joy as Christians in our suffering, as difficult as it is, because we know that when we stand for the truth and we suffer for the name of Jesus, that his name is being put out there in the world even greater and even further, that his kingdom is being built. And so because of that, I take joy, right? Think about this, this illustration. This has been going through my mind lately. If I am suffering physically because I gave up a kidney, or I let somebody take bone marrow out of me, which is a really difficult, painful procedure, and I let somebody do that, take those out of me so that somebody else, a family member, a friend, somebody that I love and care about can have a better life because of that. Somebody needs a kidney transplant, I give them mine. Somebody needs a bone marrow transplant, I give them mine. Yes, there is suffering involved in that. Yes, there's pain involved in that. But you better believe, if that's my wife, if that's my son, if that's my parent, if that's my friend that I love, I will do that over and over and over again. I will take joy in that suffering. And in the same exact way, this is what Peter is saying here. As Christians, we should have joy in the opportunity to suffer for Jesus, to speak the truth and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we want his name to be known, because we love him and we recognize what he has done for us. I take joy in that. To suffer for him, to suffer for Jesus, is to take part, this is what it says, in his glory being revealed in the world and lives being transformed. But second of all, it's not just about, recognizing that if we suffer, we are doing good in the name of Jesus and we are honoring him, but we actually receive a blessing. We get honor because of what we have done, because of the truth, because of the, when we stand in the face of persecution, we are proclaiming that truth, and there's a blessing, there's a reward, right? Listen to what he says. He says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. When we speak the truth, when we stand firm in the faith, when we are courageous like that, it says that God's spirit rests on us in the midst of those really difficult moments when we have to speak the truth. There is a Holy Spirit relief. The fruit of the Spirit is poured out on us like on a cold winter day. It says God's glory rests on you. His spirit rests on you. I think about being freezing cold and having like a nice warm electric blanket just laid on me, right? And it's freezing all around me, but on me, I'm nice and cozy and I'm nice and warm. I'm being given relief in the midst of that. What Peter is saying here is that Holy Spirit relief, that only comes to those who are suffering for doing what is right, for doing what is good. And we get to receive that as believers, as we go through this life, we get to receive that Holy Spirit relief that no one else gets when we suffer for the name of Jesus. He says, rejoice in that. Be encouraged by that the Spirit of God is being poured out on you. But it's not just about the blessing here and now. No, he says, it's about the blessing to come. There is an eternal blessing. There is an eternal reward that comes from standing firm, from courageously speaking the truth. This is what it says in Matthew 5, chapter 11. These are the words of Jesus, again, speaking to the disciples, reminding us that there is this reward. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, when people persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. He says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward. Great is your reward where? Not here, in heaven. I rejoice in suffering. I rejoice in suffering for Christ because I have full confidence. I have full faith that the greater my suffering is here, the greater my reward is when I get to heaven. And this is so difficult for us, isn't it? Because we are so instant gratification in this culture, right? Now, I want my reward now. I want to experience my reward now. I don't want to have to wait for it until later. But what I want to remind you of, and what Peter has been really reminding us of, not just in this chapter 4, but all throughout this entire book of 1 Peter, is this, that the rewards that we will receive in this life are trash. They are garbage compared to the eternal reward that we will receive when we finally go to meet our Heavenly Father for eternity. Don't trade the rewards of this life for the rewards to come. Stand for the truth. Even when the fire gets turned up, even when it's hot, even when you're being persecuted, even when you are suffering. But then he goes on and he gives us this warning. And this is a powerful and I think an important warning, especially for the culture that we are currently living in 2021. He says, he reminds us, he says, but if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler, he says. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. He says, for it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And he says, if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, for those who are doing good, if it's hard for them to be saved, what will become of the ungodly? What will become of the sinner? And so what Peter is saying here is this, right? First he said, expect it. Then he said, rejoice in it. But now he's saying we have to learn to respond well to it. We have to respond well to the suffering and the persecution that is coming at us because we stand for the truth. In other words, what he's really saying is there is a good kind of suffering. There is suffering for doing what is right, and there is suffering for doing what is wrong. And we need to make sure we understand the difference, and we need to understand that we are suffering for what is right. We need to be suffering for what is good and biblical and right and goes by God's standards. And so he goes into this, right? He begins with this. He says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. He says, even if you are put in a position where you are suffering unjustly, it's not okay to fight evil with evil, right? Don't do that. There is no reward. There is no Holy Spirit relief that comes out of that. If you do things, if you retaliate in this world, like if somebody's coming at you, they're persecuting you, they're oppressing you for speaking the truth, and you turn around, and this is what he's saying, and these are obvious ones, right? And you murder someone, and you steal from them, or you participate in some kind of criminal activity because they are persecuting you, that is not the kind of suffering that is godly. If you end up suffering for doing those things, you have brought those things on yourself. And I think we read those first couple ones, and that's pretty obvious. But I love this last one that he throws in here. And I think he really throws this in here for a very specific reason and purpose. Let's not just glaze over this. He says, don't suffer for being a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, right? I think we all know that's obvious. But he says, or even as a meddler. Even as a meddler. Why does he throw this in there? Because when I match that up against those other sins, right, it doesn't really seem like that big of a deal. What he's really saying here, guys, is this. He's saying, stay above reproach. Do not put yourself in a position where you end up suffering for the wrong thing. Even as a meddler, he says, don't retaliate with murder, stealing, or any other kind of obvious evil, but don't even meddle. Don't do anything that might incite extra suffering or extra persecution on you, because if you do that, that is not right suffering. That is not good suffering. That's not the right, that doesn't produce the righteousness in us that God is after. There's this Greek word that he uses here, allotriopiskopos. That is a tongue twister and a half. Allotriopiskopos. It's the word that's used here for metal. And what it means is, don't be an agitator. He says, don't be a troublemaker. Don't do things or get involved in things to incite additional persecution and bring more of it on yourself. That's what he's saying here. Don't do that, right? Like, think about the world that we are living in. You see this every day. You see this on social media, right? Somebody's always making some comment to stir the pot. They're putting that meme out there, right? They're dropping that comment in the family, you know, at the family dinner table that incites persecution, that incites people to get riled up and push back, right? This is what Peter is saying here. Guys, don't give the world any more reason to persecute you and cause suffering, additional suffering in your life. That is not good suffering. That's bad suffering, and God does not honor that at all. Instead, this is what he says we need to do. And this is the most important part of this. We need to stick to what we have been called to do. We are to advance the gospel. As Christians, we're not to stir the pot. We're not to try to intentionally incite anger in people and bring additional persecution on ourselves. The truth of the gospel will do that enough. Don't meddle, he says. Don't agitate. Instead, speak the truth in love. And if you suffer for what is right, if you do that, if you stay above reproach and don't give people any additional reason to persecute you, you just are persecuted simply because you've been speaking the truth in love, in a gracious way, speaking the gospel, then you can do it without shame. You can do it with your head held high. And so to sum up this whole section right here, it's difficult, isn't it, to do what's right? It's so difficult to do what's right and then to be persecuted for doing what is right. But make sure, guys, we have to make sure as Jesus followers, there's a world out there that so badly needs to hear the gospel, that is watching us. Make sure that our suffering is for the right reasons. That's what Peter is saying here. And remember this, it is far better to suffer now, to suffer now for what is right, for what is good, than to suffer later in eternity for doing the wrong thing, for not living out the truth of God's word here and now. And then he closes. with this statement. First of all, he says, expect it. Then he says, rejoice in it. He says, then respond well to it. And finally, he says, we need to entrust it to God. We need to trust the outcome of all of this to our Heavenly Father. He says, so then, and that's a closing statement, those who suffer according to God's will, those of us who do God's will and suffer for it in this life, we should commit ourselves. It says, should commit themselves to their faithful, and that word is so important, their faithful Creator, and continue to do good. We are to commit ourselves to this task, to this calling of standing up for the truth of the gospel and God's word. That word commit, it's the Greek word paratithemai. Paratithemai, right? And what it means is to entrust. It's a banking term. To entrust or put our money on deposit for safekeeping, right? And so what this is saying is entrust your life like a banker who puts our money on deposit safely in a secure vault. We are to entrust what we are doing, the work that we are doing, to our faithful Creator. He is our faithful Creator. I can trust Him that if I make these deposits of speaking the truth, of living out the gospel, of doing everything I can in this world to stand up to the evil forces that are going on all around me, even if there is a great cost to myself, that He is holding that on deposit for me in heaven, and there will be a reward for that one day. He says, do that and continue to do that. Continue to do good. And that is such an encouragement to me. And I hope that that is an encouragement to you, that we have a faithful Creator who understands us, who has a plan and a purpose for us in all of this. And for me, that makes it, when the going gets tough, that reminder is everything to me. That I can entrust, I can trust that God is preparing a place for me to one day for all of this to be over. And this life, this short, really short life in the expanse of eternity that I have to suffer is nothing compared to the glory that will be seen when we finally get to heaven. Guys, I know that it can be scary, right? It is not fun to do what is right sometimes. It's not fun to do what's right. It's not fun to be persecuted and oppressed for what you believe, to be even just ridiculed or mocked or looked at and said, you're crazy for believing that. It's not fun. And sometimes it's downright hazardous. There are people all over the world who are experiencing the hazard of that. But this is what I need you to hear today. This is what I'm speaking this message about today. It's possible to have a courageous faith in the midst of a hostile world. It is possible. Peter gives us the blueprint here. He says, expect it, rejoice in it. Make sure that you are, you know, responding well to the opposition that's coming at you. Don't do anything to incite additional persecution on you, and then trust that God is going to take care of you. He is your faithful Creator. And so this is the message today. I can sum all of this up with two words, guys. This is the challenge that I have for you as the church, as Jesus followers this week. Be courageous. Be courageous. In the midst of that suffering that comes from speaking the truth, be courageous. When the world screams that you are wrong, that what you're saying isn't the truth, be courageous. When you face opposition for speaking or doing what's right, be courageous. When that person says you're crazy for living by God's standards, be courageous. Be courageous. Church, I have this final question for you as we get ready to close today. Are we going to be courageous or not? Are we going to be the kind of church that stands for the truth no matter what persecution might come, no matter what suffering might come in our schools, in our jobs, in our families, in our communities? Will we stand courageously for what is right, for the truth? Guys, this is the heart of where all of this comes from, and I believe it's the heart of God. There is a hurting world out there. There is a world who desperately needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, who needs to hear the truth of God's word, that there is a better life for them if they will be obedient to him and follow him. There is a world out there that needs to hear about this problem of sin that we all have that is destroying us. And there is a world out there that needs to hear about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That whoever believes in him would be set free from sin and death into a life of complete joy and peace. There's a world that needs to hear that, and they do not hear that if the church, if Jesus followers do not stand for the truth. That is the bottom line today. The bottom line is that we have a courageous king. We have an amazing king who, when the going got tough, he did not back down. He did not back down in fear, but he courageously won victory over death. If you are, guys, if you are listening today and you have never understood that, I want that so badly for you. For you to understand and know that Jesus courageously fought for you on the cross. He did. He fought for you on the cross. I want you to know his amazing love and truth and the life that he offers. And so I have to be courageous. I have to stand for the truth because I love you and I care about you and I want you to experience that, even if it comes at great cost to myself. And if you are listening today and you've got friends, you're a Christian, you've got friends, you've got family members who've never understood that, who've never understood the gospel, then my hope and prayer is that you will so desperately want that for them too. That you will have a burning desire deep down inside for them to experience the truth of God, and that you would be willing to do anything, even if it means suffering for it a little bit, even if it means being ridiculed for it a little bit and being mocked for it a little bit, because their lives matter. Their lives are at stake. Be courageous. If we believe that, then we must be courageous. That's my hope and prayer for us, church. That's my challenge to you this week. I know this is a difficult task. I know that it will cause us at moments in our life from one day to the next to have to really evaluate whether or not we really believe this thing, whether we are really on that side or not. But if we will do that, I believe there will be this amazing reward that will come out of it. We will receive blessing and people's lives will be changed and transformed. Can you imagine our communities? Can you imagine your family? Can you imagine what this world would look like today? And I look around the world and I see things happening that are evil and wrong. Can you imagine what it would look like if all Christians began to stand up and speak the truth and proclaim the gospel in a gracious way? It would be amazing. You would see a radical transformation. And so that's my hope and prayer for us, church, that we would be that kind of church. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity to have courageous faith. God, I thank you. I rejoice in the suffering that I go through some days for speaking the truth, for the ridicule and the mocking that sometimes happens, God, not because I enjoy what's happening to me, because I know that your word and your truth are being proclaimed, that more people are hearing about the good news of the gospel, that lives are being transformed because of that. And I pray that each of us as Christians, we would be able to get outside of ourselves and recognize that we have a role, we have a responsibility in this world to stand courageously for the truth in faith, trusting in our amazing Heavenly Father, in our faithful Creator, that one day you are going to provide that reward. You are going to provide relief through it in this life. And for that, we rejoice and we praise you today. You should receive all the honor and all the glory in this world for what is happening in each of our lives as we do that. And so, God, I pray for our church today. I pray for those that are listening today that you would inspire them this week to a courageous faith. God, help us to be courageous. And one day, we cannot wait to meet you and see you and receive the crown of glory that you have waiting for us because of the suffering that we went through in this life. We love you, Jesus. I thank you and praise you for how you have saved my life. God, I was so lost before I found you. Continue, God, to do a work in us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hey guys, have a great week. We are going to be finishing off this series next week, looking at chapter 5 in 1 Peter. Again, encourage you to be reading chapter 4 this week. Can't wait to close this out with you next week. Have a fantastic week, and we will see you soon.